May I speak in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I want to set a little bit of a preface to my reflections this morning on the day of Pentecost. And I want to set it against the context of one of my favorite genres of literature, science fiction. In a piece titled Science Fiction Writers Imagine a Way Out, which appeared in the May edition of the magazine Christian Century, Melissa Flora Bixler writes, "Jesus' parables give us space to see that something else is possible." And in her article, she explores how science fiction writers are putting flesh on the bones of Jesus' teaching. Flora Bixler is clearly a devotee of the science fiction genre, and she cites one story in which a city is planted from seeds. Buildings, people, and animals sprout like daffodils. In another, people bound together by their common fate create a new life in a decimated land. And I've often referred to science fiction speaking more directly to our 21st century imaginations, enabling us to reimagine our approach to faith, enriching our inherited biblical images. Images from the biblical imagination were fashioned within a pre-modern worldview, with quite a different sense of the relationship between cause and effect. The biblical and medieval pictures of the three-tiered universe still hold for us some poetic charm, but in most cases they no longer inform our 21st century worldview. The biblical pre-modern imagination may continue to charm us, yet it's now relegated to the category of ancient tales of implausibility, if not downright impossibility. Imaginative attempts to explain the workings of the universe before humanity learned better, or so we think. Science fiction imagination is a key that unlocks biblical imagination for us, opening for us a space to imagine something else, the possibility of new worlds. Flora Bixler cites another sci-fi author, Walida Imarisha, who writes that whenever we try to envision a world without war, without violence, without prisons, without capitalism, we are engaging in speculative fiction. Flora Bixler describes this as inviting us into an experience of dislocation and disruption, a process of transporting us into worlds that are strange, with their own distinctive language, unknown place names, and intricate histories patterning themselves in our brains. The sci-fi imagination invites us to move beyond the impoverished architecture of our modern materialist mindset, shaking loose expectations and assumptions that from a spiritual perspective no longer serve us, or at least serve us poorly. And about this process of shaking loose, Flora Bixler writes, "I'm familiar with this loosing as invitation, how it curves within me towards curiosity. In the New Testament, Jesus turns my attention from endless cycles of harm towards seeds, pearls, and returning children. Jesus stretches me past the scraps of good life I've come to believe we can scratch out from the ruins the reign of God is like yeast and weeds. It is fisher folk with nets in flight. Now Luke, having given us his account of Jesus' ascension in the first chapter of his sequel, the Acts of the Apostles, his sequel to the life and times of Jesus of Nazareth, Son of God. And in his second chapter, he opens up the following description. And we heard it this morning in our second lesson about the sky opening, about a huge noise and the rush of wind, about flames that descended and alighted on the heads, above the heads of all present, and about an outpouring of praise in many different languages. On the day of Pentecost, those gathered received a double portion of the Spirit of Christ. And we embrace the idea of receiving a double portion of the Spirit of Christ. But as to the how and the why of it, and beyond all the colourful details in Luke's story, we adopt an attitude of indulgent agnosticism or even downright disbelief. Nice story, we say. Wish it were true. Luke's description in the events of wind and flame and an early form of instantaneous translation for the benefit of the international audience present is followed by Peter's long address, in which he sets the pyrotechnic polyglot event within the context of the unfolding of Israel's story of relationship with God. And today's second lesson ends with Peter citing the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. But remembering Joel's prophecy of a people empowered to imagine new worlds is not where Luke ends chapter 2. Our current reading ended at verse 21. But if we were to pick up chapter 2 again at verse 43, we would see that Luke's purpose is not to end with Joel's poetic vision, but to go on to describe what it looks like when a community moves beyond its impoverished architecture of conditioned imagination, to shake loose expectations and assumptions and believe in the possibility of new worlds, as Flora Bixler refers to it. And from verses 42 to 47 at the end of chapter 2, Luke paints a compelling picture of what it looks like to be a community empowered by the Holy Spirit. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need, and every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, Luke's task of constructing his Day of Pentecost narrative is not to tell us about the amazing pyrotechnic polyglot experience accompanying the outpouring of the Spirit upon those witnesses. His purpose is to show the effect of the Spirit's birthing of a new community, capable of believing in the possibility that the world could be different. And Luke describes a community of folk transformed through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, where from all according to ability to all according to need was the central organizing principle. Talk about the courage to imagine how the world might be different. The pooling of resources is the foundation of the early Christian community's experience of an empowered transformation into a truly magnetic community, configuring itself for those who had yet to show up. Now, you'll be relieved to hear that I am not proposing a return to the early Christian model of resource sharing. It's both attractive and also unappealing, conjuring for us the unfortunate resonances to failed communist experiments. What it highlights for us, however, is the requirement for us to imagine new ways of sharing resources more equitably. Now, in terms of resources, the world today is facing a resource crisis. It's not oil that's in short supply, it's water. In a world of finite resource supply, Luke's portrayal of the effect of the Spirit's outpouring upon the first Christians points us to the question of equity. That is, how resources are to be shared. The many do not have enough for life because the few have way more than we need. Flora Bixler writes, "In a real world, the tethers of oppression are wrapped so tight. Corporate interests and money developers curl their tentacles around hope. There isn't enough air. And Jesus loosens the grip as we are given space to see that something else is possible here. He refuses reforms that polish up our entrenched systems or policies that quibble over the structure of power. The reign of God sprouts and grows. Wild and unruly. The reign of God sprouts and grows wild and unruly. And is this not music to our ears? Because few of us are happy with the ways of our world today. But how might we imagine things to be different? Of course, imagining is just the first step. Unleashing and unlocking our conditioned imaginations. There are two additional steps. Having the will and the courage to believe in the urgency of our dreams becoming reality. And at Pentecost, we celebrate our receiving of a double share of Christ's Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father through the Son, as we say in the Nicene Creed. And following the first day of Pentecost, what exactly was the nature of the transformation of Christ's followers? It seems that it was the transformation of their imaginations. The power to imagine living life differently, empowered by Christ's Spirit to continue the work that he had begun. Because today, my friends, on Pentecost, the baton passes to us. And so my prayer for us in this community on this Pentecost day is that we may have the power to imagine the life we long to live, to postpone our dreams no longer, and to waste our hearts on fear no more. Amen.